Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Cheaper, and the team was able to assemble a great roster of players around that guy, Brock Purdy in San Francisco, and Jalen Hurts, what he's done in Philadelphia. So that's the other way. That's the plan B. That's the alternative route to try to win a championship. I don't advise it. I don't recommend it. But I wouldn't want to argue against it, Chris, because if you're a team like the Steelers and right now you're kind of in a dead end, you've got Ray Fittipaldo coming on the station today saying something like they haven't been in this kind of spot in a very long time as far as how bleak it looks for them, how dreadful it looks for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's probably going to end up being a wasted pick if you expect the guy to become a legit number one quarterback. But when you're in this spot, I don't have a problem with just taking a flyer on somebody and seeing if...
In the middle rounds, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, or really, I'm going to say... Like this executive said, really at any point in the draft.
I don't like just, it this year. It's supposed to be one of, again, a terrible quarterback draft compared to next year
yes,
and the year after.
And I would say back to you on that.
The last time they took a quarterback in a bad quarterback draft, it worked out great.
Well, but the best player to take in that terrible quarterback draft was the last guy that went off the board.
I would take a flyer in like the late rounds. They have holes on their roster, man. Like, you can get useful players in the middle rounds.
Biggest hole on their roster?
Quarterback, which is why I would like to see them just go with Justin Fields for a year and then try
to
use picks to move up.
So just ignore the biggest hole on their roster, then, is what you're saying.
I would want to address it via the draft in 26 or 27, that's for sure, not in 25. Be such a desperate, short-sighted move by them. They're also not the kind of team that I think has the offensive infrastructure and coaching and philosophy in place where they might see something in a guy in this year's draft and I'd go, wait a minute, the Steelers are pretty bright. If they like this guy, it's a good job to take him.
But why would taking Will Howard and let's just throw out there the fourth round, why would that preclude them from taking a quarterback in the first round in 2026?
It wouldn't, but I don't think that they're wired that way. I think if they took the guy in the fourth round, they might say, oh, we can groom him to be the starter.
Based on who would be setting that agenda for the organization? Who would be the person saying, we took a guy in the fourth round, therefore the
Probably
next...
Probably the owner. The owner would say, if we see something, they might take him in the third round. They seem to at least allegedly feel like Mason Rudolph was their guy of the future.
Oh, they definitely felt
well.
At one point, I know Colbert felt that way. I don't think Tomlin really ever felt that way, but at least one of their big power brokers did.
I wonder how scarred Mike is about rookie quarterbacks in general or young quarterbacks in general with what happened to Pickett. He benched Fields after a 4-2 young quarterback so he could put Wilson in there.
Well, that's why, based on that, I think he would be more likely to take one in the middle rounds than he would in the early rounds, because then he could couch it as, well, we need the position filled, but I didn't put all my eggs in one basket to do it. I tried to middle it. I tried to find the answer without doing what you did, which is overdraft or try to fill other needs.
I mean, just trying to middle it just seems like a recipe for this team for disaster. That's all. I just don't think that the reason Brock Purdy works, and I even can admit this to you, because we used to argue about it endlessly and stupidly since we were arguing who's better, Pickett or Purdy, which is just an absurd concept to even be bringing up. If Purdy ends up on the Steelers, he's probably just a guy who never even has started an NFL game at this point. He ended up in a very good spot where he could, A, show his talents, have the opportunity, and plays in a system that is, by and large, very beneficial for quarterbacks.
I don't know about that. I want to say you're wrong, because Shanahan apparently was telling John Lynch and other people, much like Belichick did with Brady, that when Purdy was buried on the depth chart there, he would say to them, hey, I think this guy is actually my best quarterback.
Who here is, okay, but he's the head coach, so when he says that, it carries more weight. Yep. I also think he probably has, if not final, damn near final say on player acquisition.
Yep, so does Mike.
You think Mike is going to bring in like a fourth or fifth round quarterback? Like Will Howard in the fourth round, and Mike's going to watch him and even give him a mental chance to say, this guy's actually the best quarterback? Come on, that's not going to happen. If that was the case, then Rudolph would have probably gotten the starting job last year because everyone and their brother told everyone that he was the best of the three quarterbacks in camp.
Okay, but to go back to what Mike has said repeatedly for years, Mason doesn't fit Mike's profile.
Why are we putting any stock in Mike's profile for what he wants in a quarterback? I know that he's got the basic parameters right. You want a more mobile guy. Mike doesn't know how to, he wouldn't know a good quarterback prospect if one walked up and smacked him in the face. He wouldn't.
But he doesn't think that way.
So he's wrong.
I understand.
There are a lot of things he thinks he's right about that he's wrong about.
I know, but if you have if you are unaware.
If he wants mobile quarterback, then you take Jalen Milroe, period. And that's your developmental project, even if he's a late first round pick. If you want a guy that's a lottery ticket that fits what Mike likes, then you should take Jalen Milroe, who is athletic enough to make systems obsolete.
Sure, but I'm saying if he's gone, by the time you pick in the first round, does that mean you just don't take a quarterback in this draft? You don't at least try to get a guy with one of your picks later and see if he's Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or one of these exceptions to the rule. I get it. The odds are that the guy probably isn't your answer. But when you don't have an answer, mm-hmm, I think you have to try to find a young answer in every draft, whether that's round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. I think every year until you find your answer at quarterback, you should bring in a new young quarterback. That doesn't mean you pick one in the first round every year.
Well, that's the PFF theory, where like we used to ask Steve Palazzolo when he worked there, like,
right,
if a team took 7 quarterbacks that needed a quarterback, would you rate that as a good draft? And he'd say, yeah, 7 chances to max out.
So that's why I'm saying, like,
what they need.
I was not really high on Will Howard. I did not think of him as a guy that was a potential NFL quarterback or someone that would fit the Steelers. But yes, I'm going to endorse or support the idea.
He just looks like a guy.
Yeah, you know who I thought just looked like a guy? Bo Nix.
Again, was Bo Nix coached by Mike Tomlin and his staff or Sean Payton? And it pains me to say that because I ripped Sean Payton, but I was wrong.
I mean,
Bo Nix is like he's not even a year younger than Justin Fields, so there's something to that too.
Yeah, but the difference is that Bo Nix was a raw piece of clay with no NFL resume and just a blank canvas player. Justin Fields had shown in a ton of games, things that made you think he could play in the NFL, like his running ability and his arm strength, things that didn't make you think he could play consistently
in
the NFL.
I'm concerned about Will Howard like I am any quarterback who is experiencing a meteoric rise up boards, in this case because he had a great final 4 games of his career. Like that's Pickett was a one-year wonder.
Yeah, I know, but the difference is instead of like having to bet on the meteoric rise and use the 21st pick on him, you're doing it with a pick in the 90s or something like that.
I don't even trust them to give guys like that a fair shake necessarily. I mean, they picked Rudolph, what, in the 80s? low 80s, 82 or something?
Yeah.
He never actually had like a... He had a chance his second year, but he blew it. And then he never... when he actually threw together three good games, I think they, in the end, rightly didn't go back to him the next year. I don't know. I just have... You know what this comes back to? I have zero trust in their ability to take a quarterback who might have some flaws, but otherwise could be a very good NFL player, and get that player out of him. Like, I need...
And I agree with you, but that doesn't mean that... By that logic, you would say the next Steelers quarterback has to be a veteran, because if it isn't, they're going to screw up whoever they get.
Or it has to be like either a legitimate can't-miss prospect, or a guy who's so athletic, you're just willing to take lottery ball shots on
Donnie,
the idea
you're
that
a quasi-Ohio State fan. You've watched all these guys and have pegged them as future Steelers or potential Steelers. Where do you come down on Howard?
Sometimes it's tough when you see the big school quarterback that, I mean, he was also only there for a year, but he like didn't really emerge until the last few games of the season. Just, I mean, also consider the amount of talent that is around him that can make a quarterback like him look good.
And that's always been the knock on Ohio State quarterbacks until Stroud kind of... I think Stroud did, even though they didn't have great year this year.
He's really the only recent guy that has broken
that
mold. But
he only opened eyes because against a more talented team in Georgia, he was their best player. Like, he actually looked the part when the other team was better man for man than they were pretty much across
the board.
But
I mean, not to get too granular here, too in the mud, but I mean, Ohio State beat Texas, and Texas took Smith away, who's looked at as the best player in college football, and Howard still had a really good game against them. So that is, like, in my opinion, a feather in his cap, because you could...
Because he could throw to another first-round pick in Igbuka.
Yeah.
And probably another one or two that they also have.
Right.
I don't know. You put Will Howard on the Steelers, he ain't surrounded by the best roster top to bottom in his sport. He's on a roster that's like actually kind of deficient on that side of the ball.
Sure.
With some Stone Age ideas for what offense should look like.
Also agree with that.
I get why you need to take quarterbacks, because you got to take swings, but it just feels like such a futile discussion when we both agree that, yeah, they need to do that, and also we agree that in most cases the guy's not going to be talented enough to overcome the crap infrastructure around him here.
I mean, it's probably going to end up being a wasted pick other than having somebody that could come in as a backup, but when you're the Steelers and you're in this predicament, why the hell not?
I know. Again, it just feels like it's a dead end for them, which, again, this is me just
Donnie,
saying, like, I'm bummed out.
I'm sorry, I didn't even let you finish your point. So you were bringing up Ohio State quarterbacks and how, you know, he did get...
Yeah, which sometimes I think is a little bit of an overrated point, where everyone just writes them off immediately because of how much talent is around them. I just don't care for the idea of them going after a quarterback, really, unless a guy like slides to them, that is someone who should have gone, at least they think or others think, a round or two before, and it slides all the way to them at, I don't know, whatever pick it would be, in like the fourth round, fifth round, I don't know.
I am guilty of this. I think we've got to do away with that thinking. Like, because a guy was pegged by the, like, Todd McShays and Mel Kuypers as this rated prospect, that, okay, now that he was supposed to go, according to the media guys, in the first round, he's available in the third round, so it's okay to take him.
Well, I'm also saying if it's like on, if it coincides with like their board, like what they have, like, hey, this dude is still there and we are about to pick again, we should just take him. We thought he would be gone, but he is still here.
I kind of think, and I won't say like reach, where if you have a guy slotted one place, you take him 50 slots earlier than he's supposed to. But I think if you've got a third round grade on Will Howard, you take him in the third round. I think if you've got a fourth round grade on Will Howard, you take him in the fourth round if you're the Steelers.
What if you've got a third round grade, or everyone else does, on a safety from a middling ACC school? You take him 27th overall, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. And if you think a quarterback can be a franchise quarterback,
take him after
you take
the
his
receiver.
Wide receiver yeah. from the school instead
for
of
sure.
him. Yeah.
And if you think your offense needs to be rebuilt, you give your aging quarterback who can barely throw the ball and wants to get rid of it in 2 seconds a running back and a tight end.
I mean, even the teams evaluate these guys wrong. I think just about every team would have taken Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels with the first pick in this draft. And that Washington got totally lucky that they picked second instead of first.
Sure, it's a reverse Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf situation
yep.
in that regard. I remember thinking Daniels. I mean, even though he
came on this season, same thing the draft before with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. They got all this time to pour into these guys and evaluate them, and the teams pick the wrong ones.
It is hard until you see the guy actually out there and like what happens.
So that's why I'm saying like this team is so lost at quarterback. Okay, there's nobody per se who's good enough to take at 21. But why not take somebody in the middle rounds and just hope that you got lucky? Because if you don't, you're...
Do you feel like they're open-minded enough to give that kind of guy a chance to prove to them that he's like worthwhile? You know what I mean? Like, are they open? I think other teams are open-minded. That Kyle Shanahan anecdote you shared about him saying to everybody else, I think this Purdy guy's the best guy, that requires like a certain open-mindedness about, hey, we whiffed on Trey Lance. This guy's ultimately better than Trey Lance.
5:15. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. I saw a tweet just as a side here that made me laugh during the break. Guy named Nutsy Poo on Twitter.
I've seen Nutsy Poo's work.
You guys know Nutsy Poo, Don? You ever follow?
I think I know the tweet you're referencing.
He said, you know how bad it is to be a Pirates fan? They're about to offer more money to an 11-year-old than they have with any free agent this year.
You think almost ever.
You think Nutsy knew he had a banger when he put that one together? I think sometimes you know you're about to send out a banger.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong about that.
You say that and just...
PM team professors at 5:30, now that the season's over, we'll get the red ink out on the Steelers' 2024 draft class and grade every pick. The way they grade every pick the night the picks get made, we'll now grade those picks now that we have a year of evidence.
I got a bad feeling you're going to get mad at me and Donnie during this segment.
By the way, no incompletes are allowed.
There it is.
No incompletes. You have to grade the pick. How you feel about it now with a year gone by. I do think it's pretty interesting, will be the catch-all word that I use here. Kabali came in and said this on Friday. He wrote about it on X, about this difference, this falling out between Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson. Dulac said all offseason, before he even played a game, that the idea was to sign Russell Wilson to an extension, a multi-year deal once the season ended. When Russell Wilson went in as quarterback, he would say that in chats. He would say that on his various platforms and interviews. He even said that late in the season. Second the season ends, this gets out, this leaks out, that those two didn't see eye to eye on things. Now Dulac writes a story about the future of the quarterback position and says, really, very assuredly, very confidently, oh yeah, Russell Wilson's done here because of his relationship with the offensive coordinator. I don't do the insider thing for a living. Sometimes people tell me things. If I trust the person or persons, I'll word it in certain ways, or I might just come right out and say, this is a source that told me this. It is incredible to me that while the season was unraveling and while things were starting to look bad, that this did not get out until the season was over. You know, like
that they somehow kept it under wraps.
Everything was hunky dory. We're staying up late.
FaceTiming each other, like each spouse, to make sure they know that yes, we're still just working together. We're not screwing around drinking beer here. We're just knee deep in the playbook. God, that, you know what though? In retrospect, and this is not me trying to say I knew it all along. When you read something like that though, sometimes, Pony,
yeah,
like in the moment, like maybe a tiny alarm bell goes off in the back of your mind. Like, really?
They're really trying here.
Like, this is so corny. It has to be. It's the old thou doth protest too much. Oh, yeah, they're best friends. Like, it's actually unnerving how much time they spend together. Sierra misses her husband, but he just can't stop poring over the playbook and working hard with Arthur Smith. Like, are you kidding me? Because then we had, when we still had this, like, late in the season, we had Arthur Smith, like, the juxtaposition of you pointing out he sounds like a guy who wants to start Justin Fields when the wheels are falling off. And that was, like, a week and a half after we had heard, you know, a pretty all quiet, all clear with those two. It just, in retrospect, is like, oh, man. They clearly weren't getting along, and we all should have seen it for that.
Dulac went on DVE yesterday and said, I think the word that was told to me that I always used was that the intention on both sides was to do another deal, but I don't think that's going to happen now. It soured. It curdled. It honestly, and they're different personalities, but to me, it is a lot like Ben. You tolerate it. You put up with the guy's idiosyncrasies or personality
if the play
because you're
justifies
winning.
It.
If you're winning.
And if he's... Yes, but he also had to be playing well, which at the outset he kind of was. He was kind of doing the best version of Russ that
exists. If
you're
winning and the guy's playing well, exactly.
He was hitting on big shots enough to make up for the fact that he was doing all the other bad stuff still, just at a much lower clip.
I do have questions. If Fields had not gotten injured on that run late in the season where he was scratched from a couple of games, and he's 100% healthy and he's able to get into games and he's able to contribute in some way, if Mike would have gone to him as the starter either against Cincinnati in week 18 or in the playoffs. I mean, probably week 18 to give him the runway and then the playoffs too.
So a Rob Johnson situation?
Yeah.
Boy, that would have made, not that this discussion's hard, I think, what would you put the likelihood at? Over 95%, I'd say that Wilson's not back. Close to 100 for me. I think it's like done.
Other than Donnie, who was the guy yesterday that came out and said he still thinks a Baker Mayfield deal could happen here?
Dan Graziano.
Yeah. I think Dan's on
Dan Island.
Delusional Island there with that one.
Graz Island. I mean, the only other thing that would have done is, if he actually was healthy, Tomlin starts him, who knows, maybe the Ravens game is a little closer, but we're not even having these discussions. Russ is long gone. You know what starting Fields, if he'd have been healthy, might have helped do, even if you lose in the playoffs? Probably smooths the runway even more for him to come back. Hey, we effed up here. We realized it. And now we want you back. Like, even though you lost the playoff game, we still feel like there's way more good than bad here, and we'd love for you to come back to the Steelers next year. We want to make sure we get something done that works. You're our guy. But now they have to at least deal with the idea that Fields is maybe going to get overtures from other places.
That's the thing that we really haven't thought about enough or pondered enough. There are other quarterback needy teams out there that aren't going to get Sanders or Ward or even Milrow. And what do they do at quarterback?
Or might get like a guy like Milrow and want him to sit for a little while and have a runway to learn.
Sure.
Like, there might be teams that are interested in Fields being a very well-compensated bridge quarterback.
I don't think he would. Okay, so I don't think he would take that job over coming back here. I think if he knew that he was just, you know, biding time or just playing as a stopgap before that rookie first-round pick took over, to me, that's not a more attractive job than here.
What if it's a way better offensive system? Like, if you were Sam Darnold, wasn't Minnesota pretty attractive because you knew the play caller was really good?
Well, he also didn't have a lot of options. I mean, he signed a one-year deal.
I understand that. I guess I'm saying if like a team that has a reputation for being good with young quarterbacks drafted a guy but did want to make that guy sit for a little bit, I'll say like the Patriots have a good reputation, although not with obviously like the current brain trust. But if it was a team that had a better offensive rep, if you're Fields, maybe you take the one-year deal saying, yeah, I might get 10 games, but if I ball out, even if the team stinks around me and we lose, but I'm putting up numbers, that's going to open some eyes. Does he really feel like Arthur Smith's system, tailored fully to him, is going to bring out the most in him? I guess maybe. Smith probably believes that. He probably thinks that's Tannehill 2.0 for him.
He also got benched by Mike, though, and lost his job with a winning record. That's why I think if there was enough, if a team offered him enough money, and it was for multiple years, and they didn't have a young quarterback already on their roster who was primed to take his job, I could see Fields picking that team over coming back here. I don't know if that team exists. I don't know if that team will
materialize,
but I think it's possible. I mean, people have pointed out that if the snowball chance in hell happens and Arthur Smith gets the Jets job, that Justin Fields would end up being their starting quarterback next year.
I think that's
and then what do you do?
Skylar Thompson time.
That would be a plummet to the bottom.
They truly have ruined their quarterback situation so spectacularly. I just can't imagine handling the last couple of years of Ben's career till right now, present day. Basically, elbow injury to now, I cannot imagine a team handling their quarterback situation worse. The Jets with Zach Wilson and now Rodgers.
The Browns getting rid of Baker Mayfield and giving up as much as they did for Deshaun Watson.
I guess
the Giants giving Daniel Jones an extension.
But think of the sheer number of players who have cycled through. You have end stage of his career, Roethlisberger. You have Mason, Mitch, Kenny, Fields, Wilson. The guy who maybe had the best combo of youth and actual promise there, you benched after six games where you were winning.
I think Mike's talking himself into Fields more and more, especially after watching these games this past weekend.
You think he's going to have to go to Fields hat in hand and say, I'm sorry? I did you wrong?
No, because I think he's tried to coach him up the entire time since the benching happened.
So you believe the idea that Fields basically has felt like maybe less hard feelings because they've kept him engaged?
Yes. I do.
I'd say on one hand, hey, good job, you kept the guy engaged even though you benched him. I'd also say bad job, you benched the guy.
But I also think he felt, say, around like Thanksgiving that he was definitely done here, that he was going to have to move on.
I think when Russ was playing well, if you were Fields, it was reasonable to assume that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell. Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, that music means it is time for another edition of PM Team Professors today. Grading Steelers 2024 draft picks. These grades get handed out the night of the draft with zero games of NFL data to go by. Now we've got a year's worth. In some cases, we don't have a year's worth because guys got injured. So how will that factor in?
You taking
to
incompletes
our PM
off
team
the
grades.
Table.
Yeah. Incompletes off the table.
Donnie and I had multiple incompletes written down, and then he very presciently said, Pony's going to get real pissed about this if we have a bunch of incompletes on our resumes.
We do have an all-rookie team performer that we will grade here. Mm. That news came out a little while ago.
So this is how you're feeling about the pick after 1 year, to be clear. How you're feeling about the pick.
Let's go around and give out a grade, and then I'll come back and ask you to explain it if need be. Troy Fautanu, 20th overall pick. I have that at a B-. Mulsey?
I have it at a B- as well.
Donnie?
B+.
Why a B+?
I still feel like, now this is one of the guys that was going to get an incomplete. He only played in one game. I feel like what we did see out of him in very, very limited action, I thought was mostly good. And I would think that we can build upon that. Now, we have seen offensive linemen drafted early, like the guy a year before him, not really emerge as a great player. The Steelers also have a bad habit of playing these guys out of position, and we've seen guys go elsewhere and thrive. Kevin Dotson has become one of the best guards in all of football, just as one example. So maybe if they figure out putting these guys in the right spot could actually help them at least a little bit. But I think Fautanu, we shouldn't write off after we barely saw the guy play.
Any one of us that has a major life decision to make in terms of a big purchase, whether that's a vehicle, whether that's a house, comps matter. How much did I pay for? What did I have to give up? What did I do versus what I could have done instead? And so that's why I'm B- here. Not only did Fautanu have an injury that basically cost him the entire year, right after he went, two guys who play positions where the Steelers are very thin came off the board and were amazing in year one. Brian Thomas Jr. at wide receiver for the Jags and Quinyon Mitchell at corner for the Eagles. So what if, in my mind, with both of those guys, you could have your number one lockdown corner or you could have your number one wide receiver, and you passed on both for a guy who pretty much missed his entire rookie season. Zach Frazier named to the all-rookie team today, Mulsey. What grade did you give him?
Easy A right there.
Donnie?
A+.
I went A+, too. Why not an A+, Mulsey?
Because I'm a harsh grader. You know what's funny? Generational all-time great lineman in the making, Graham Barton, ended up surprisingly very good in his own right, but I still think they made a very good pick there. He went 26th. Frazier went 50th. And I think Frazier's going to anchor that line for the better part of a decade. That's a very good pick. It's not an A+, because I would reserve... Here, you want to know my rubric here? My A+ would be reserved if you had the second overall pick and you took Jaden Daniels, you're in the freaking NFC title game because of him. That's an A+ pick.
You know who was right next to him on that all-rookie team? At right guard.
JPJ?
Jackson Powers Johnson.
That was your guy.
They wouldn't have gone wrong, I guess, with either. So, it seems like they're both pretty good.
I have Football Reference up just for easy sortability. They use approximate value for the team that drafted him. So every player this year, that's what it is, because that's the only team they've played for. Barton, the best approximate value of all those guys. Slightly higher than
generational.
Frazier. He did come on late. That was the thing. Frazier played pretty well early. Barton, I think, was a bit of a slow go, but then he got really good.
Donnie, what grade did you give Roman Wilson?
I guess C-, D+.
Oh, I gave him a D.
I gave it a C.
I gave it D.
Mulsey, why a D?
Because, again, you look at comps. They needed a wide receiver. Who went a handful of picks after him, exactly 8 picks later? Jalen McMillan, who has the third weapon maybe primarily in Tampa's passing game, maybe the fourth if you want to count Cade Otton. 37 catches for 461 yards and 8 touchdowns. And Jalen McMillan also looks like he's actually built for the rigors of the NFL. He's like 6'1", 200. We still have no idea if and when Roman Wilson gets on the field, if a guy who's like 5'10", what did you say? You saw him on a plane, Boney.
Very small.
You could not believe how slight a frame he was. Yep. We have no idea if he'll stand up to the NFL pounding that you take.
Plus, it already seems like he's in the doghouse.
Oh, 100% in Mike's doghouse.
I don't think that takes any speculation or hypothesizing. I think that's very obvious.
So D plus for Donnie?
Yeah, I went C. How about Peyton Wilson? I went B. I went just
with a B.
I went with a B for Peyton Wilson. Malsey?
B minus.
I actually have him at a B.
Same, you and
well,
me.
As well, Pony.
Is this more Malsey harsh grading?
I thought he had like the spectacular play on Justice Hill, and he showed the kind of range and the basic raw ability. But I felt like, along with their defense as a whole, some of the splashier plays from him and the, oh, wow, he's popping off the tape, diminished as the season went on.
Mason McCormick, your grade. Fourth-round pick.
I gave him a B.
Don?
I actually go A-minus for him.
Wow. I went B-plus. Explain the A-minus.
I mean, he was somebody who should not have gotten on the field this season. They picked him for the sole reason of, okay, you'll replace James Daniels next season. He gets thrown into the fire, a player that we were told, he's pretty raw, probably not ready to go. We hear that about a lot of their offensive linemen, and the guys look like they're completely unusable. I'm not giving him an A-minus because I thought he was a great, great player. I thought he was more than serviceable, though.
I think it's a nice taking off point or building block for next year. I thought the plan all along was for him to be their starting guard in 2025, let Daniels walk. He didn't do anything that I would say was exemplary or over the top.
I would have given him an A-minus had the season ended after like 11 or 12 games, because I think he's another guy who hit a bit of a rookie wall and started to look worse and worse as the season went on. But I think that's mainly a byproduct of, frankly, not having ever played that many games. I still have an arrow very much pointed up towards him. So I'm the strictest grader so far.
Yeah, I'm not even. Do we want to do Logan Lee and Ryan Watts? Do you guys?
Here's what I. Do you want to know how much I actually tried to make this an honest accounting here, Pony?
Neither guy played,
but I tried to go and look around and say, like, was there anybody that got drafted at any position of need that they have right after these guys that you could look at and say, like, man, they could have really helped themselves? Malik Washington was on the Dolphins, had 26 catches. Not much, though. He was more of a garbage time guy. There are just a lot of, like, didn't do anything wide receivers. Kamani Vidal from the the Chargers, the running back.
I like the kid from Denver who went in the seventh round. I'm looking at it right now. Wide receiver. Valet.
Seventh round. Yeah. He actually had like the best numbers. Yeah. Devon Valet.
But I don't know. That's
that feels like you've got a.
I'm really being a hard ass and jerk if I'm going to ding them for that.
But that's one of the. I did try to look and see, like, were there any players who acquitted themselves surprisingly well? And honestly, man, you know what Donnie and I discovered as we did this pre-show? There's usually one or two players that you can be like, wow, they really missed, and there's like a Purdy or somebody adjacent to that, right? Like a sleeper hit. You know who's probably the best player who got drafted late in this draft? Bo Limmer for the Rams.
Oh, I know a guy who is all over the Rams. He's the center, right, from Arkansas?
Yes.
Loves him. Thinks he's going to be a stud. Very athletic.
Bo Limmer, they felt like, was a better player this year. Again, this is just Football Reference doing that approximate value. They felt like he was a better player than Zach Frazier.
What are they basing that on?
Approximate value is just like their over. It's like their war metric.
No, I know, but how do they get to that number?
Oh.
With offensive linemen. Do we know?
No, I think.
Because he was picked so much later?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's how they do it for rookies. I'm just telling you, they liked him a lot.
Yes, but I'm trying to figure out how they like him a lot. I don't know.
Well, Football Reference is now timing out because people are flocking to the site because of me talking about approximate value.
This.
McCormick had the same as Frazier, by the way, in that.
Am I on an island here that I thought McCormick faded pretty badly by the end of the year?
Yeah, like I
thought he was playing his worst football at the end of the year.
I say at best he was solid. But that thing that Donnie just said, that Pro Football Reference had Mason McCormick and Zach Frazier down for the same exact season value-wise, throw that system out if that's the case.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.